Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Autism Stories. I'm your host, Doug Bletcher, the founder of Autism Personal Coach. Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience, and Autism Stories is where we interview autistic people to learn from their stories, experiences, and get their insights. If you would like to be notified about each week's episode of Autism Stories, we suggest you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. We would also appreciate it if you could give us a positive rating and review, as it will help others to learn about autism stories. On today's episode, Haley Morgan joins us to discuss being the co-author of Supporting Autistic People Through Pregnancy and Childbirth. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Haley, thanks so much for joining us here on Autism Stories.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to meet you.
The same. And I'd love to start off our conversation by learning about your story. Where would you say your story in the autistic community begins?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because when you ask that, I have two different time points in mind. There's the reality of undiagnosed Hayley, which happened from birth. And there's also the late life realization that happened in my 30s, where I got diagnosed in between having my two children, where I realized I was autistic and had a diagnosis and began to understand myself. So yeah, it's a really interesting question, but I would say I've been on the journey of self-realization and understanding for about 7-8 years now.
And you mentioned the Hayley at birth. You're the co-author of a book that was released earlier this year, Supporting Autistic People Through Pregnancy and Childbirth. So beyond your book, I'm wondering what research you have found out there regarding autistic pregnancy and childbirth experiences.
Well, it started this, the whole topic really got brought to my attention when I was doing a master's in Swansea University. And I applied for this just as I found out I was autistic, and I had just given birth to my second child. And I couldn't help but wonder the difference that my self-identity and my confidence in my autistic identity, difference it made to the quality of care I received in birth. So I started looking for research then on the master's, and I was really kind of disappointed, disheartened by what I saw. This would have been 2017, 2018. Thankfully, things have changed. And I'd like to rather egotistically think that I've been part of that change, along with many other fantastic people. But however, at the time, I did a systematic literature review, which is, for people who are not in research, just a big snapshot about what scientific literature is on a certain topic. And I found that there was a lot focusing on risk of autism incidents. So there were things like really, really strange factors, maternal exposure to heavy metals in pregnancy or tornadoes. And one of them was having a maternal grandfather that was an engineer, cited as a risk factor for autism. And it didn't really scratch the itch that I had in wanting to find out more about why, when I reported, I relayed my experience to the autistic community about my birth and how I felt it was different from my neurotypical peers. And I wanted to find out why that was, really. But the literature at the time didn't quite answer it.
Now, from what I understand, intersectionality is a core feature of your book. So when intersectionality isn't thought of, how do you think that impacts someone during pregnancy?
I think it can, you know, on the very, at the lightest end of that spectrum, and, you know, the least damaging, it can make people feel horrible. If intersectionality isn't taken into account, it can make them feel unseen. But there, you know, there's another end to that spectrum as well, where if certain characteristics are not taken into account, that I think that there are very real dangers. So I think it runs the gamut from making someone feel isolated to being a very physical danger to the person's well-being.
As autistic people, we often have co-occurring conditions, and your book talks about conditions like alexithymia, chronic pain, epilepsy, and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. What do you think is important for people to know about these conditions as it relates to pregnancy and childbirth?
I think, again, it would be an essential part of any decent person-centered care to find out what co-occurring conditions are there. Any good midwife would know those. But I think with the rates of how much more likely autistic people are to experience those issues, I think having a care plan without taking those things into consideration would be quite, well, risky at best. There are some things that have very real effects on pregnancy, for example, epilepsy medication. There are very real aspects of having hypermobile joints and the effect that can have during childbirth and the progression of labour. So the effects are tangible, physical, and mental.
And how can our listeners learn more about and purchase your book, Supporting Autistic People Through Pregnancy and Childbirth?
It's available at Amazon and all good book retailers. If you check out my Twitter or X, it's Hayley Morgan Ott, and you may be able to find a discount code. If not, you can approach me there. But the publisher is Jessica Kingsley Publisher. It's JKP shorthand. So have a quick internet search, and you should be able to find a book through there as well.
Now, you're also the co-founding member for the Maternity and Autism Research Group, which is an incredible ensemble of autistic researchers and maternity care professionals. So, the aim of MARGE is to improve the experiences of autistic people accessing services relating to pregnancy and early parenting by signposting information and resources. What resources or tools have you found that have been helpful to autistic people who are pregnant?
At the moment, it's difficult to say that we have found the holy grail, we've found the definite answer. What we put in most of our attention into is reviewing what's already out there. So we've got a team of autistic researchers who we have a review framework. So it would include things like, does this research have funding from funders that would be concerning to autistic people? Is autistic voice centralized? So the research we review and signpost to has gone through this very thorough vetting process by our researchers, and interventions around childbirth will be part of that. So we have papers looking research at maternity passports for autistic people, but we also deliver talks as well to NHS, to health workers, to midwives who are on the ground delivering this and changing their practice. So we're hoping that those other improvements that we make will help, basically.
So I've talked with several autistic researchers here on Autism Stories. So I'm always curious because so much research is not incorporating autistic voices. So I'm just wondering, in the research that you've reviewed through the Maternity and Autism Research Group, how often are even one autistic voice part of this research process?
It's a really mixed bag currently. Like I said, things are improving. As a voluntary group, we are slowly working through papers as we find the more contemporary papers. However, ones in recent years run the gamut from no voice, no mention of if autistic voice or community was consulted at all, whether it's not quite clear if they were consulted, to yes, they were consulted, but the feedback they gave wasn't listened to. So it's a whole mix really currently, but fingers crossed there are papers coming through with, the autistic voice centralized and true participatory research.
Now, this seems like it's been already a big year for you as your book has been released, but you've also become a peer writing advisor at Swansea University. So I think having feedback from experienced peers is so critical in all aspects of our lives. So, what What's your process of providing this feedback that helps your peers improve the quality of their work?
I listen. Obviously, I'm trained and knowledgeable on all the technical parts, like paragraphing, spacing, correct referencing. But I've found rather quickly that listening and being empathetic to people's struggles is the main part of the job. And I absolutely love that because I sometimes feel it quite rewarding, quite cathartic in a way, because all the struggles I had with a rather atypical journey through academia, I feel like I've got a range of experiences and a lot to empathize there with students who are struggling with feeling like they're not achieving their best. And I've definitely been there. Listening and reassuring is a massive part of it.
I think that's so important, just listening. I think we live in a time where telling and judging is the first thing that comes to people's minds, but actually listening and hearing people's perspective and understanding the why of it all, I think is so important.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah. Through listening, I learn more about the world and about different people's experience and the reasons for those experiences. And so rather selfishly, I enjoy it for my own benefit as well, you know?
I definitely know that for this podcast and talking to so many other autistic people, it definitely just has been an amazing learning process just by listening to people and hearing their experiences and their knowledge. Well, it was wonderful to have you on this episode of Autism Stories. Haley, thanks so much for joining me and sharing your knowledge about pregnancy and childbirth.
Thank you so much for having me and more importantly for covering and signposting this really important topic. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thanks so much to Haley for the conversation. To learn more about Haley, please check out the link in the podcast description for this episode. Here at Autism Personal Coach, our clients are the experts, our coaches are the guides. The majority of supports for autistics are not helpful. They try to fix us, not support us. That's why many are confused when we say our clients are the experts, experts of their lived experience. Our clients are the experts for what has worked for them and about the things they need and want in their lives. Our coaches first listen to our clients and then ask thoughtful questions, offer resources, and strategize with our clients so they can get what they need to thrive. Would you want a guide in your life to coach you to help you get the things you desire? If so, then visit autismpersonalcoach.com for more information. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autism Stories, and if you did, if you could tell a friend, foe, or anyone you know about it so they could have the same enjoyable and educational experience as you when listening to Autism Stories, it would be very much appreciated. Until next time, I'm Doug Blutcher of Autism Personal Coach. Talk to you then.